accession number 19392, Reel 3.
Donald Evans, Reel 3.
Yes, one was very much a creature of the organisation, and when we were told to do something, we went and did it. I think one was aware of these problems and felt that it was a civil problem rather than a military one. And it was, the military were only brought in when there was a danger of the thing getting out of hand. Of course, in Bengal, Calcutta area, it was quite a different matter. I mean, there was very serious riots on a large scale. Hardwar, after all, was fairly small, although it was very intense. But farther east you went, there were very substantial civil disobedience.
So this would have been 43 when you were at Hardwar?
Yes, right, yes.
Was this the only time you were called out in aid of the civil power?
It was, yes.
Any of the troops injured?
I think not. My recollection was that the steps that were taken were adequate. It was, as I say, it was this toe-tapping business, and gradually break the police tactic, I think, was gradually to break them up into small groups and disperse them. But, I mean, they were far, far more expert in that sort of thing than we were.
Now, you were saying that you went to Camilla
mm-hmm.
to join the 2nd British Division.
Mm-hmm.
Which part of the 2nd British Division?
Well, the division was down at that time. The division was down on the... I missed the great battle at Kohima, where the division really sort of achieved substantial fame. We were down. It was down then on the Chindwin, and I have difficulty now in remembering the names of these places, so I beg you to forgive me. But from Camilla, I flew down. I think it was to Imphal, on the Imphal plain, and then I went, ended up through Kalewa, across the Chindwin, and joined the division somewhere down there. Unfortunately, I cannot now remember the names of the places. But the division crossed the Chindwin and went down. We went down then to Mandalay, across the Irrawaddy, and so forth. That was the campaign where I joined. In fact, I joined... If I remember rightly, it was 5 Field Company, Royal Engineers of 2nd Division. But I was only there a matter of days when I switched on to 506 Field Company. And there, there was the OC was a Dennis Eady, who'd got an MC at Kohima. Peter Higgs was the 2IC, and there were 4 subalterns, of which I was one. And I was the, because the other three, there were 3 platoons in a company. They're now called squadrons, I think, but at that time they were called companies. 3 platoons, and they each had a subaltern in charge. And the 4th subaltern was known, which was me, was known as the recce officer. And in other words, he didn't actually have a complete platoon. He had just a few chaps, and the idea was reconnaissance and liaison with infantry and so forth.
What did the reconnaissance involve?
Well, it basically, it involved, if there were obstructions, looking at them, assessing them, and reporting back that such and such resources were needed to overcome it. The very first job I had sort of straight off the lorry sort of thing, was to go and lift some mines. Now, the Japanese, by and large, didn't do a lot of mining in the sense that, in the way that the Germans did. I mean, the Germans did masses of mining. The Japanese didn't. And they used shells so that a vehicle going over would hit the cap of the shell and set the thing off. Later, in some places, and this was later on, they dug pits which they covered with grass and bamboo and so forth, and there was a shell in it and a chap with it, and his job was, when the tank went over the top, to hit the cap and blow himself up with it, which they were happy to do. But the first job I had was picking up some shells. One of the infantry battalions had come across this minefield. That's an exaggeration. It wasn't a minefield. It was a track that had been mined. So we went along and crawled along and identified these things and dug them up, took them to one side and blew them up.
How dangerous was that?
Well, I suppose if you screwed it up and hit the cap, it was definitively dangerous. But one tried to take care. The danger was that you missed one. They were in the road and in the verges, in this track. I mean, the road. It was an earth road. So it wasn't difficult to conceal them. So you had to be a bit careful. And, of course, all the time the infantry are bursting a gut to drive you on to do it quicker and so forth. But, you know, you have to strike a balance.
So this first job was in the Mandalay area, you said?
It was one.
In the Mandalay area.
No, it was much north of that. It must have been... Oh, a lot north. It must have been, I suppose, between a place called Pink Jin and Shui Bo.
What type of terrain were you in at this time?
It was a sort of rolling hills, and it wasn't the deep jungle of the north. It was scrub and jungle, and it was merging there into the North Burma plain. A lot of scrub about, and rolling hills and chongs. And if anyone isn't certain, chongs are watercourses, either wet or dry, depending.
What did morale in the unit seem to be like
when you joined them? Very high, very high.
What are your next memories after doing this first job?
Well, I've got one memory, which is of an armoured car. Now, for some reason, the company had an armoured car. It must have been designed by the enemy and the design given free to our army, because it was the most atrocious vehicle I've ever come across. It was indeed armoured. It looked like a steel tea caddy on wheels. It was very hot inside. The visibility, considering it was a recce vehicle, the visibility was not very good. In fact, it was poor. And it had no defensive armament, or offensive armament, I suppose you might say, so that you relied on your own arms. You had a Bren gun or a Sten gun or whatever, the Japs, and your own pistol. And there was if I remember rightly, it was a crew of three, the recce officer, who was me, and the driver, and one other chap. The only good thing about it would go quite fast, and we used this, but it was much, if you were doing a reconnaissance, it was much, much better to use a jeep rather than this beastly armoured car. Hated it. Didn't use it if I could avoid it. The only time you really needed it was if you were going... We had a thing called 2nd Recce Regiment, which was the divisional recce regiment. If you were going with them, it was probably advisable to have the armoured car to keep up with them. But if you were just going anywhere to look at... You know, if you were going... If the... For example, if the infantry had said, there's a chong here, we want to get our vehicles across, take the jeep and go and have a look. That was the best thing.
And then?
Great thing about jeeps was you could get out of them quickly. In the twinkling of an eye, you'd be out of a jeep if there was a problem. Whereas in the armoured car, you were trapped in it.
And then?
Well, we made our way down to the Irrawaddy at a place called Sagang, which is on the Irrawaddy comes north and south. When it gets to Mandalay, just south of Mandalay, it turns west and goes west for a while, then it goes southwest and the Chindwin joins it and it goes off down towards the sea and several hundred miles farther south. 19 Indian div had crossed well north of Mandalay. Our div came between Sagang and Arva, which was the great Arva bridge, the principal, and indeed only bridge over the Irrawaddy, which incidentally I saw last year. It had been restored. When we saw it then, of course, it was blown two spans, I think, in the river on our retreat in 1942. Anyway, the div came up to the river. We did an assault... It's a socking great river, the Irrawaddy. I'm told that it's four times as wide as the Rhine. And when I went there last year to look if it really was as wide as I thought it was, it jolly well was as wide. And our div closed up to the river between Saigang and a place called Arva, where the bridge is, and then a little bit farther west at a place called Nagzun. And west of us, 20 Indian div was crossing. And then farther south was the famous crossing by 7th and 17th Indian divs in their drive to Maiktila, which was to cut the retreat of the Japanese holding Mandalay. So there were lined up 19th, 2nd, 20th, and 7th. Four divs lined up to the river, which they crossed at various times. Our crossing was... We 5th Brigade crossed to start with, and they got checked and had to come back. And then 6th Brigade went across, and they got a bridgehead there. And our job was to operate the folding boats and subsequently the rafts for taking the vehicles across, taking the guns and the tanks across. And some of the troops went across in ducks. They were those amphibious jobs, six-wheel jobs. And folding boats for the infantry, driven by 4.5 horsepower Seagull engines, which were an absolute affliction because they were always breaking down. And indeed, I think we lost quite a number of people, the boats, the engines packing up and the folding boats drifting down downriver to where the Japanese were. And we built these Bailey rafts, which I described earlier on, to take vehicles across. Assembled them in the Mu River, which was a river that came down from Shuebo, and brought them out into the Irrawaddy. And they had, I think it was 2 22-horse outboards fixed to them to drive them across fairly slowly, and we ferried these things across. Which was a struggle against the current. There was a very strong current, and I think that actually caused a good number of casualties, certainly in 5 Brigade, because they got swept down and they were driven off. I can't report to you those matters because they were beyond my immediate comprehension. But this is the sort of general feeling of how it was happening. And our company did ferrying, both for the infantry and, as far as I was concerned, particularly for the tanks. We had these rafts with parallel hulls, which I described, and took the guns and the tanks across on that for quite a long time. The Japanese hung on to the other bank, particularly with snipers. And indeed, a Lieutenant Wilson, who took over on one of the rafts from me, got killed by a sniper. He was ferrying the raft across, and the snipers, you know, they were having a go. And this poor devil got killed. We had some casualties in the company, but my recollection is they were pretty light. And then we established ourselves on the other bank. What was a very interesting thing at that stage, the infantry were pushing down, and my recollection, it was the Durhams, the Norfolks on the left, which were 4 Brigade, Durhams and 6 Brigade. Can't remember the other battalions particularly, but I remember we came to a town, to a railway junction, just south of Mandalay, and there, I think it was the Durhams, captured this train. It was full of engineer stores. I wish I could remember the name of the town. Switch this off. Yeah, I think it was the Durhams captured this train at Chalksea. And we had a look at it to see if there were stores there which we could use, which there were. To my intense regret, I found a Japanese equivalent of the Royal Engineers pocketbook. It was all in Japanese, but it would have been an interesting souvenir, and I've lost the damn thing. There was a whole mass of stuff. They were obviously going to go take it back from Mandalay to Mike Tiller. And of course, 17 Div were in Mike Tiller and rather frustrated their intentions. So that's where we were there. Then the division closed up to a place called Mianyan on the Irrawaddy, south of the junction with the Chindwin. And General Slim, in his wisdom, decided that he was going to pull us out. And I think the reason was that he couldn't. He had at that time 7, 17, 20th, 19th Indian divisions. The 11th West Africans had been brought. East Africans had been brought back. And I think he found that he couldn't maintain that number of divisions forward because we were being supplied by air, parachute drops and so forth. And indeed, once we got landing strips, Dakotas came in with supplies, but a lot of supply by air, parachute drops, and free fall stuff from, you know, food for the mules and that sort of thing. So you had to, if they were doing a drop, you had to watch your head. But we came flown out from Mianyan, handed over our transport to somebody, to one of the other divisions. Not that we had an awful lot of transport, but we didn't take it out with us very sensibly. Went back to Chittagong. From Chittagong, we went by steamer to Calcutta. From Calcutta, we went to somewhere near Bombay. In fact, I think into Bombay. Yeah, I'm sure it was into Bombay. At Calaba Point, there was a garrison there, or quarters there. And our brigade, while this was going on, the army was driving down to Rangoon. We embarked at Bombay, and we embarked for Rangoon, because Rangoon fell in the first few days of May, if I remember rightly, and from a seaborne operation, it just beat the divisions going south, but they all met up there. And our brigade, we were the only brigade of 2 div to go back. We went into Rangoon, to my recollection, a few days, or it might have been a couple of weeks or something, after Rangoon fell. And then we went to Mingledon Airfield and waited there a very short while, maybe not at all. Maybe we came back there, and we went up to Prome, because there was a lot of fighting in the Pegu Yomas and the Arakan Yomas when the Japanese 28th, I think it was the Japanese 28th Army, was withdrawing from the Arakan, crossing the Irrawaddy with the idea of drawing back to the Sitang as a general retreat. We did some work in Prome, opening up communications, basically. I was then sent across the river with a platoon, really, or half a platoon, to see if we could open up the road between the Irrawaddy and the coast at Tangup. And at Tangup, there was 82nd and 81st West African Divisions. Maybe not 81st, certainly 82nd West African Divisions. And the idea was that they should be brought across the Arakan Yomas, which are the hills dividing the sea from the Irrawaddy, bring it across the Arakan Yomas, and put it into the battle north of Pegu. So off I went. We were ferried across the Irrawaddy on one of these rafts with a six-wheel Dodge and a Jeep. And the six-wheel Dodge had some folding boat equipment on it, which I'd referred to earlier, because we knew there was a socking great chong which we had to cross, which was full of water. So we did that. We got to the chong, put up the folding boats, ferried the jeep across, left the rear detachment there, and we pressed on through this track, through the Arakan Yomas towards the coast. There was myself, a driver, a lance sergeant, and a sapper in this jeep. And we'd been warned that there was more danger from tigers than there was from Japanese. In fact, this wasn't true. There were a lot of stragglers going through, and in fact, we had a brush with one lot of stragglers and an exchange of fire and so forth, but we weren't hurt, and we didn't seem that anyone on the other side had been hurt either, so they didn't want to know us, and we didn't want to know them, because we had a job to get through to the coast. The road was very bad, soggy from the monsoon, because the monsoon had broken just as the troop, as we captured Rangoon. And the road had been attacked by the RAF to stop stragglers or stop sort of form bodies of men getting of Japanese getting across to the Irrawaddy. What, of course, it also did was stop the West Africans getting across to the Irrawaddy as well. So it was a major exercise in opening that road. So we did a recce on that, got back to the river, got back to the Irrawaddy and reported what we found and indicated that it was feasible to open that road with the equipment. We had bulldozers and so forth. When we got back to the Irrawaddy, unfortunately, we had a bit of a problem because we couldn't contact the other side. We'd arranged to fire very lights and so forth, and they'd all got soggy and wouldn't fire, so we had to cross in a folding boat. Which would have been fine if the blessed motor worked, but of course it didn't work. The seagulls never did work. So we had to paddle across the Irrawaddy, which was going at a fair old rate. And it was, I suppose it was, I don't know, but it must have been over a mile wide. So by the time we got the other side, we were a long way down river, and then had to paddle up the other side back to Proman and report to the company, which then had to go and pick up both the vehicles. And the rear party. After that, what happened then? I think. Oh, then we were withdrawn to Mingledon Airfield. This was still 6th Brigade. And we did work on the airfield, extending it, and repairing it, which it badly needed. We had two terrible crashes there, two Dakotas full of troops. Hit the trees at the far end and burnt out, which was a bit depressing. I think, in point of fact, they were going to be flown into Bangkok or Saigon. I can't recall, but they were certainly going farther east, and they came unstuck on takeoff. So we stayed there for a while. Stayed in Rangoon while we were working on this. I bought an ivory elephant, that one over there, at the Shwe Dagon Pagoda, as a memory of it. And then eventually we were shipped out from Rangoon to Calcutta. We did a repeat run. From Calcutta we went over to Bombay. And there we were shipped again. I remember the train journey from Calcutta, from Howrah Station, Calcutta to Bombay. We were in the old type Indian coaches, which had six berths in them. Six, one, two, three, four. Maybe it was eight berths, and a private loo at the end, and a shower and sort of thing. It was all very commodious, and a table and so forth. So you had eight officers. It might have been six or eight, but it doesn't matter. And I remember we were issued with K rations, which were an American. We'd had those for yonks in Burma, and they had a sort of waxy box with food and stuff in. And the idea was you lit the box to heat up